On the line is Penny Campbell, one of the former DJs. Good morning, Penny.
Morena koutou katoa.
So when did you actually get involved with the station?
It was about 1993. I was living in Auckland, and we were thinking about making a change in our life, and we thought about moving to Raglan. So we drove down and went to check out the schools, and so went up to the area school and met Bo Rewati, who was the principal of the school at the time.
Yep.
And he talked about he wanted to set up a radio station in the school. And I thought, gee, that's really something really cool for my daughter to get involved in. So it kind of really was one of the main drivers for us to move to Raglan and really for our daughter to get involved in the radio.
Oh, okay. I didn't realise it was that early on that you got into it. And so was he really the one who kicked the whole thing off, do you think?
I think it was his idea, you know, it was his thing to really put it, you know, for something for our kids at Raglan Area School, you know, to give them something really, you know, to help them move forward in life, I guess. And, that was my recollection anyway of what got us to move to Raglan.
Okay, so were you here when the, had you got here by the time the station got on air in end of 94?
We moved here end of 93, we're here start of 94, and we're sort of here at the first sort of meetings, I guess, of the community around putting it together and getting bits and pieces, and I think Bo had already got a few things, you know, a bit of equipment and that.
Okay, and did your daughter go on to do a little bit of DJing and get involved?
Yes, she did. She did, along with many other the youth of the time, sort of people like Cara Rickard and Johnny Rickard and Cyrus and Cedric Waititi. There were all these young fellas, Biggie Small, all of these fellas,
yep.
I remember.
And you got involved as well as a DJ. Did you do that right from the start?
Yeah, I think the spot I kind of picked was the Saturday afternoon slot.
Okay, and what was your? Do you remember even the name of your show?
I can't even remember. No, I can't. Even. I didn't even know if I did have a name for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way it was back then. I don't know. And tell us about the technology, because I'm sitting here surrounded by. I've got three computer screens looking at me and. All this fancy stuff and a mixing desk and all that, but what did you guys have when you started off?
We had a small mixer. What was it kind of? Because I had this little mixer, a Q-Tech mixer. I think it had four channels on it. And a little thing about as big as probably you stick two sort of iPads together, about that sort of size.
Oh, okay. I just dug something out from under the DJ, you know, how in the studio it's a bit higher where the DJ sits, and I found some old stuff under there. I must have a look at it. I found this really old little mixing desk.
Yeah.
A little rusty.
Q-Tech.
Yeah. I'll have a look later and see if that's the one.
Yep.
Yeah. And what else?
CDs. We had couple of CD players. I guess we did have some tape decks. We didn't have any, I kind of remember. And I remember the transmitter just kind of sat above your head on a sort of a rack. And I just beamed out from the gym.
Okay, and I did read somewhere. I was digging through all the old documents, which took a fair while, and there was something in there about how they promised the broadcasting people that they wouldn't broadcast over even too much of the actual town.
Yeah,
you could only pick it up in some parts of the town. So it really was focused on the school at that stage, wasn't it?
Yes, very much.
And but Bo Rewati, he didn't stay at area school for very long, did he? After that.
He left, I think. Yeah, I think he was there for 1 year, and then he moved on, and then Clive Hamill came in.
Yep.
And I guess, yeah, Clive Hamill wasn't so much, his interest wasn't so much with the radio. And then it kind of, well, for me, it sort of seemed like it was starting to slide, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was getting to be a bit of a hassle, I guess, with it being in the gym. You know, we had, I don't know, everyone knows the gym in the school. In our little spot that we had, and we always had a problem. I think our main problem was that we'd always set the alarm off. Someone would forget to set the alarm. The alarm would go off, and gee, I can't remember his name now. He was the caretaker.
There'd be a call out, no doubt, or something.
A call out, and would cost the radio station. We didn't have much money, so it used to always, most of our money was spent on call outs.
And there wasn't the room you were in didn't have its own external exit, did it? You had to go through the gym, through the entry to the gym, and out that way.
Out through the gym, yeah.
And I asked the principal Malcolm Cox what he remembered about the station, and his first memory was an outbreak of gangster rap from the kids broadcasting at lunchtime.
Yeah, there was all this kind of, you know, we start off with a format of programming, and Chris Banks or Rob Banks tried to, you know, wanted to have a format, and everyone would follow the format.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get these young youth to play sort of Frank Sinatra at lunchtime just wasn't working.
Right.
And so everyone, you know, sort of Pete Barnard said, well, look, you know, if you want the youth to be involved, you just got to let them play what they like. We're all there to play what we want to play. You know, we're not here to play something that we just doesn't turn us on. So, you know,
People,
you want DJs, you need them to be able to play what they play.
Yeah. And that's still the policy today. And I know it was when I started too. So what sort of stuff were you playing on your show? What was the thing that was driving you with your show?
I guess my sort of sounds, I used to really kind of like world beat sort of sound, Afro sort of sound, Latin sounds, and sort of funky sounds, really.
Okay.
My main thing. But I kind of, you know, a couple of years later, I started to learn my language, my reel.
Yep.
It gave me a pathway to sort of practice my reel on the station, so I'd sort of practice reading the time in te reo. I think if there's an old clock around, I'd sort of written Māori. I'd sort of put Māori words around it so I could read, give the time in Māori, all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was the sort of where I kind of headed to, and then in the whole sort of once the sort of tenoranga teratanga thing and protesting came on, well, then we started getting a bit more sort of political, I guess.
Yep.
In my shows, or in the day shows anyway.
So, I played one of the station IDs which you'd done earlier.
Yes.
And there's quite a heap. There must be, I don't know, five or six or, well, no, ten maybe, but that I could find. But did you do all of those, all the station IDs that are in Te Reo?
Yeah, I did. I worked together with Andy Fendel.
Yeah,
Andy was the sort of, you know, he was the man who had the computer that could do all that work, and he was, and he'd also come from years of working in radio as an engineer, as a sound engineer in that.
Okay.
So he had that skill set, so it was really good working with Andy to make those sort of, to make the jingles, for him to do the technical side and for me to just have a bit of fun, really.
Yeah, well, hopefully tomorrow morning I'm going to be talking to Andy as well. I don't know, did he ever actually go on the radio? I don't remember him from when I got involved.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. I don't think he did. He was sort of more in the background, you know, keeping all the technical, keeping the transmitter working, all of that sort of thing.
Was that a bit of a challenge back in those days? I know it has been a challenge in the time I've been involved.
Yeah, it was. There was a time when I think we went off air for a while and our transmitter, I think Andy will probably talk more about it, but I know that we went off air for a while and we took a while to get back on air.
Was that around the time when the station moved downtown?
Yeah, I think so, and we were down near the pizza. Yeah, then we end up where we are now. Actually walked past there the other day. Labor Day, I walked past there, and I actually realised, gee, we're not 96.6. one.
No, it hasn't been. Must be, I don't know, 2007? Sometime around there, they did the shift. Because the transmitter's up where the cell phone towers are now behind Extreme.
Yeah.
And to do that, the broadcasting people said we had to change frequency because we would have interfered with some other signals, apparently. So, yeah, that happened around then. So, what else was... Oh, I was just going to ask, you're not in Raglan anymore, are you?
No.
No, just in Hamilton?
No, yeah, just here in Hamilton East.
Okay, but you still come out to Raglan a bit, I imagine?
Yeah, I come out chasing waves still. The main reason that I went to Raglan all those years, for many years, and I still go out and still catch up with some of the whānau out there. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked, really. Listening to the radio, a little bit of the radio this morning online, you're now one of my favourites. So,
oh, cool. Excellent.
I can tune in and have a listen.
Excellent. Yeah, well, I do the morning show now and every morning, and we try and... It's mostly focused on Raglan, what's happening in Raglan, so it's a pretty good way to keep up, really.
Yeah, and I guess the other great thing, you know, the thing I realised when I moved to Raglan all those years ago, that everyone was involved... in a lot of community activities, you know, there were a lot of things were run by community, and so when I got there, I realised you had to, if anything, you needed something to be done, you had to get involved, and we got involved in the radio, in the Kohanga deal, and then with Extreme Waste, all those.
Yeah,
everyone was into. There were a lot of people like Wilkins, you know, involved in many different groups. Yeah, lots of people, lots of the community were like that. And I guess that's why Raglan community is so powerful and, you know, what they achieve.
Mm. Oh, you mentioned Extreme Waste there, and I did want to ask you about that because Extreme Waste, when Extreme Waste got started and you were one of the founders and your focus actually was on... I mean, they kind of call it marketing these days, but back then you're calling it education, of just getting people to recycle and to understand what they could and couldn't recycle. And the radio was a fairly big part of that, wasn't it?
It was. It was that and the Chronicle were our two tools that we used to get the message across and to get our people, you know, get our people to participate in recycling. So it was very much the way that we got it out there. Yeah.
Yeah, and you made a few ads. And did you actually do the Extreme Waste show, or did you have other people doing that?
Now, did I? No, I think Michelle Ormsby was doing it. We got Michelle. She ran, she did the first, she was doing that, I can't remember the name of the show, and then Susa took it on after that.
That's right, and she was still doing the show when I arrived at the station in about 2003.
Yeah,
I used to do my show, it was just before her, so we used to have these little exchanges, you know, between our shows. She was great.
Yeah. But, I just wanted to come back to, you know, when we were making the ads, that was sort of ways we could raise a bit of funds, so we were sort of going cap in hand, and there weren't a lot of businesses in Raglan at that time. So people like Craig Hughes at Raglan Surf.
Yeah.
Petrels. Wayne Petrol at the supermarket, Rob Cowley, Soul Shoes, Rob Galloway, who else? Waikato Cars, who was that?
Oh, Rob Kirkwood.
Well, Rob Kirkwood. Rob Kirkwood was one of the stalwarts. But Craig Hughes, he used to sort of, I'd go and see Craig and I'd say, you know, he'd say to me, man, I am really sick of my ad because we didn't have many ads on, so his ad would be playing like, you know, probably about 10, 20 times a day.
Right.
Man, I am really sick. Can you do something about my ad? I am sick of it. You know, I sort of would laugh, going, gee, we need to get more ads. You know, we just didn't have that. There wasn't a big commercial base in Raglan.
Yeah, we do have a bit better support these days. There's a few more businesses, and we've got a good amount of ads at the moment, good support.
Yeah,
and it's really good. And I've been through the history of the station, digging out all the old documents and stuff. And it was a fairly precarious existence, by the looks of it. Like after Bo Rewity, the school principal who initiated the whole thing, after he left, I mean, it kind of lost its direction for a bit, I feel, or the DJs wanted to get downtown. Or I wasn't quite sure how that was working, but is that your recollection of that?
Yeah, no, I can't really remember that part. All I remember is that, Now, Kevin Drever was pretty much our main chairperson. He sort of was the rock, really.
Yeah.
Sort of was the that kind of just steered it and, you know, sort of, you know, kept it. And we had, you know, so, and it was a very, always quite a small committee, and people that would be on that committee, what I remember.
Yeah.
But what I did notice, though, that when new people came to the town, they'd find themselves at the meetings and be in the radio. So it was a way for new people to the town to get involved, and they found themselves at the radio at the time.